major things are still to be done in this city.
In our series, Flow, this morning. Flow, I always think it sounds like a person's name. I know a lot of people call Flow. But we're continuing on in this series that's called Flow. And we've been looking about the love of God. We've been looking at how much God loves us, how important it is that we get that we understand that we get it's no strings attached love, it's unconditional love, and that it's grace. And the whole idea is that we just get that so much so that it impacts the rest of our lives. It says in Ephesians 3 that whenever you understand the height and the depth and the breadth of God's love, it begins to give you a fullness in your life. It has to impact you some way, somehow. It should affect your everyday life. We've kind of been putting towards the whole idea that if your life is looking pretty rubbish at the minute, if your life kind of is taking over your little world, which quite often it does, then what we were saying is if you're panicking about it, then maybe, just maybe, you aren't getting just how much God loves you, because you can get to a place whenever that's all that matters. As long as you and God are in relationship with one another, then everything else can kind of just take a back seat. And then Andrew last week started talking about how it's not supposed to stop there. It's just not you and God getting happy and woohoo, brilliant. That is supposed to have an impact on other people. It's not the fact that you're a Christian and you're supposed to do good, okay? It's not about that. It's not about ticking all the right boxes, because that's what Christians do. But it's understanding God loves me so much that it just has to go somewhere. People have to sense it. People have to feel that there's something different about you. Whenever you walk into a room, people should get excited. People should get passionate and go, Jill's here, full of the joy of the Lord, okay? Now, granted, that doesn't always happen. And one of the things that we've been saying is that we are supposed to keep revisiting this love of God, the love that God has towards us, because we can't run on empty. We can't possibly give out love if it's something that we've never received. And last week, Andrew started looking at that, about how we receive that unconditional love and how we, in theory, are supposed to give unconditional love, even when people don't deserve it, even when people rub us up the wrong way. That's what we're supposed to do. And this morning, I'm continuing on in that series, and my title, which I nearly died when Andrew gave to me, was I'm Not Offended, okay? And this is about dealing with hurts, dealing with people whenever they just annoy you and frustrate you and basically offend you. And whenever Andrew sent me that email with like what the next couple of weeks were, I just emailed back and went, are you joking? October the 4th, are you having a laugh? And I was like, what do you mean? And see, to be honest, we have had a whole year of people being offended by things that maybe we have done or haven't done, okay? I've had a year of people just maybe saying things about me, about slagging us off, whether it's Blue Tree, whether it's Exchange. I've been through a year of just hearing, yeah, 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 in my ear. And it's been one of the most frustrating things, because I know, as a Christian, I'm supposed to walk in love. And I'm not supposed to get angry. And I'm not supposed to get annoyed. And I'm supposed to just go, do you know what? It's okay. I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm just going to go on and carry on my merry little Christian life. Because we all know that's the way it works, don't we? We never get angry and we never get annoyed. And all I'm saying is, see this, not only this year, but see this week alone, I swear I think the devil has known this is my topic. He obviously does. But I have been in every scenario you could think of where people have just been trying to annoy me. Honestly, it's been incredible. Not only has people been offending me and saying things about me and to me, but I've also been in the middle of like a friend and a friend arguing, and she's offended her, and she's offended because she did that. And I'm standing in the middle going, oh my goodness. So my week has been filled with people getting hurt, people saying stuff, people getting offended. And I think that's really funny that when you start to look at a topic, I don't know if it's because I've been researching this, if I'm just more aware of it, whether it's always been there, or whether I'm just, you know, looking out for it now because I've been studying it. It's inevitable that as people, we get offended. Okay? As long as there are people in the world, we are going to get offended. All right? One of the things that is really frustrating, okay, sometimes is that we don't get along with everybody. I like to think that everyone likes me, okay? I like to think that I never annoy anyone. I like to think that people don't get frustrated with me or angry with me. But the reality is, I'm a person. I do annoy people. I do say things that crack people up. I act certain ways that people just don't like. We're different personalities. Look around this room. We are all different. The way we respond to things is different. What we like, what we don't like. And yet here we are as a group of people trying to get along, trying to be united, trying to live at peace with one another. And the reality is that because we're all so different, there's a high probability that we won't all get on with every single person in this room. That's a reality. We might rub each other up the wrong way. No doubt on a daily basis, and I've discovered this, maybe it is because I've been looking for it, but you have endless opportunities every single day to be offended. Okay, like I mean loads, not just once, but loads of opportunities on a daily basis to be offended. Whether it's the person on your way to work who cuts you off, okay, right, we love people like that. You forget to put the indicator on and just, you know, nearly take the nose of your car. The staff member who's nearly made everyone else a cup of tea but has totally forgotten about you, okay. The boss who didn't really say hello or how are you in the morning. The husband who's forgotten your wedding anniversary. Don't worry, that hasn't happened. 9th of October, because I know Aaron's listening. 9th of October, honey. Okay. The friend who just doesn't return your calls or doesn't text you back. Or the person who blanks you as you just walked into church this morning. Maybe someone didn't say hello and you're sitting here raging at that person, totally offended that someone hasn't even said hello to you this morning. There are endless opportunities for us to get annoyed, endless opportunities. And some of us, okay, are extremely offended all of the time. We're just that way made up. We just get offended at the slightest little thing. And one of the things that I want to try and challenge you this morning on is how to try and work that out. Okay, we're not supposed to live angry at people, okay? When you experience that love of God, it's supposed to impact relationships, not just the nice, glittery, brilliant ones, the ones that are dead easy, but it's supposed to impact those difficult relationships, those people that just frustrate you, who you could probably kick somewhere, okay? That's supposed to impact those relationships, the good and the bad ones. You're always going to offend people. People are always going to offend you. And as long as there's people, there's going to be offense. There's going to be hurt. There's going to be people who just annoy you. But as children of God, we are supposed to be walking out kingdom values. We can't ignore the parts of the Bible that say things like, do you know what? Try and live at peace with each other. Bear with one another. We're called to live that way. We're called to try as best we can to be at peace with everyone around us. And the only way that we can do that, and the reason this is in this series of love, the only way we can do it, we can't walk natural hurt out of our own natural selves. We have to experience something supernatural. We have to experience an overflow of God's love, an overflow of His grace, an overflow of His patience to be able to deal with those awkward people who offend us. And God has to be a part of it. He has to be. Like I said, it's really easy to get offended. People are people. And I've realized over the last lot of years that, do you know what, sometimes I get offended whenever the person hasn't even meant it to be taken that way, okay? They haven't meant to hurt me, but yet I've taken a real offense. And I've discovered that it's all about me trying to question why someone did what they did. Okay, it's okay when someone actually hurts you and there's an action involved in it, okay? But one of the things that plays on your mind and plays in your heart is when you start questioning why that person did what they did. You start thinking about a motive. You start going, I knew they didn't call me back because, no. And before long, your imagination's taken it to a whole other level. Whenever Andrew doesn't return your call and you have him off somewhere, like he's just put everybody on silent, he hates us, he doesn't like us, and really he's just busy. He's busy on another call. I used to have this problem, and I don't know if it's a bit of a girly thing. Some part of me thinks it is, but I really struggled with this when I started going out with Aaron, okay? My Aaron, bless him, has improved dramatically. Note, Aaron, you've improved. But whenever we started going out, Aaron and girls, total dead loss, absolute dead loss. I would be phoning him and phoning him and phoning him, texting him, got no reply. Phoning him to his work, he never got back to me. Phoning him to his house at tea time, thinking it's tea time, he's by now, never got back to me. It wasn't unusual that 2 or 3 days later, okay, now that's really bad, I'm still trying to get the hold of Aaron. Okay, and I'm genuinely, I get to this place where I've worked myself into this like chaotic girly, Aaron doesn't love me, this is terrible. And really, Aaron's just a bloke who forgot to tell me he was going up the moors for the weekend. Okay, simple as that. He didn't mean to hurt me, he didn't mean to offend me. I'm sitting there thinking I'm the rejected girl, how could he do this to me? And I've created this whole other scenario between a boyfriend and girlfriend, and really, Aaron's just really forgetful, and he would do that. He would just disappear for a weekend. Oh, forgot to tell Jill. And whilst you may think that's funny, he's done that several times. He phoned me telling me he was on his way to France for a week. Yep. Hi, I'm still with this boy is a miracle, but it's brilliant, okay? And it's the same idea. I now know. I used to be so offended when Aaron forgot, when we were first married, he would forget to get me an anniversary card. And that used to be the whole night ruined. Like, I'd be stomping and, like, throwing things about and, like, slamming doors. And you forgot the anniversary card. And I'm like, you don't love me. And it creates this whole big hoo-ha. And really, the reality was, yes, he might have forgot, but then he got caught up. He went into the card shop and he got caught up in this conversation where he ended up praying with a woman about something and completely forgot his time and needed to rush back to work. And how bad did I feel creating the whole World War III over something so silly? We are so easily offended. When someone does something to genuinely hurt you, you know, it needs dealt with. It does need dealt with. Their actions need dealt with. And it's okay to recognize they have done this and it's made me feel this way. But it's totally wrong for you to question why they do what they do, why they forgot to phone you back, why they cut you off in traffic. It's wrong to start questioning people's motives. You can't judge someone's motives. It tells that in the Bible. You can't judge people. 1 Corinthians 13, and I spoke on this a couple of weeks ago. I think this is the Amplified version. It says, love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It's ever ready to believe the best of every person. It's ever ready to believe the best of every person. Do you know what? It's so easy to think the worst of people sometimes, isn't it? I think I automatically think if someone doesn't return my call or if someone ignores me or someone blanks me, I automatically, there's this human part of me that thinks, oh, they're so bad. They're like, rrr, and I'm like really riled up by it. And sometimes I gotta turn my God sensors on and go, do you know what? This world does not revolve around me. Perhaps there's something going on with them. That person who cut you off in traffic, who's maybe just coming back from a hospital appointment where they've found out they've got a terminal illness and their head's away and they've cut you off in traffic and you've got super offended and you're raging. Or the person that blanks you in church, who's maybe had the most horrific morning, and while you take offense at them not saying hello, you don't know what's going on in their life. It's easy to think the worst of people. I remember when we were in school, Aaron was in the musical Fame. Okay, that was our school musical that year. And we were supposed to have a meeting the night before the show about something entirely different. It was our Bible union meeting. And Aaron didn't turn up for it. And all of us were just livid. Like, all the girls were, like, all organized with everything. And they were just raging that Aaron was not at this meeting. And then the next morning, there was a prayer meeting. And then he had another meeting for the cast. And still, Aaron wasn't there. And automatically, all the little chat starts. And it's like, he is just so disrespectful. He just does this all the time. He, like, clears off and he never tells anyone. And how dare he? And he's meant to be doing this and he's meant to be doing that. And, you know, I participated. This is before I went out with him. I participated in that conversation. And I got so mad at Aaron. Like, he hadn't even done anything personally to me. But I just cracked up. And lo and behold, who came into school on crutches but Aaron? Because just before our meeting, he'd went rock climbing, and he'd fallen off, and he'd broken his heel. And all of us who had sat and had totally got angry at him and got offended that he didn't show up were just sitting feeling really awful, terrible, arms in plaster up to his knee, right round his heel, and we felt absolutely awful. The point of this is that you don't know what people are going through. You don't really know why people do what they do. You can't control people, okay? But yet you control yourself. You can choose whether or not you're going to be offended. It's one thing being offended by someone, but it's a completely different matter altogether whenever you stay that way, whenever you stay hurt, whenever you stay angry with someone. Because being offended leads to so much other stuff. First, it starts off where it's just a little bugbear that annoys you, and if you don't deal with it, that just unravels a whole lot of other stuff. You can get bitter, you can get resentful, unforgiveness can come in, you find it hard to concentrate because you've created this thing in your head that just is annoying you, that person who just irritates you, and it takes up space in your head. You can't concentrate on anything. It affects you when you even go to talk to God because you can't think of anything else. You find it hard to pray, you find it hard to worship, you find it really hard not to talk to other people about it, and you create this whole other world where you bring other people into it because you're so offended. What started off as a little offense hasn't been dealt with, and before you know it, you're the gossip of the place, creating discord amongst the people of God if it's in the church. I know that is something that God is completely no-no about, because we as his children are supposed to be united together in love and in peace. So what am I saying? Not dealing with offense properly can cause so much relationship damage that it's just not funny. It can just wreck things. And it's a total waste of time if there was no offense intended. And we've conjured up that whole mess out of something really silly because the other person genuinely didn't know they were doing what they were doing. Or if the offense was intentional, we didn't deal with it properly. And it took up that space and it just totally started to wreck things. And this is why Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, says, do you know what? Try and bear with one another. It's not get along all the time. It's try and bear it. Try and get along with people. Do what you can to just try and make things work in your relationships. Walking in strife with people, walking in anger with people, just leads to so many other stuff. I was reading some stuff about the word offense. And a lot of the times in the New Testament, the word for offense is this word scandalon, okay? And a scandalon is like a trap, okay? It's like it's a full trap. And an actual part of the trap, it's the hook in which you place the bait, okay? So offense, that word plays out as bait, okay? And I think how incredibly appropriate. Because you know what? The devil does not want us as God's people to walk in unity. He really doesn't. And what's offense? It's a little bait. And if you grab it, if it plays space in your, if rents space in your mind, he dangles it in front of you. If you don't deal with it, before you know it, relationships are completely destroyed. God wants us to walk in unity. And to do that, we need to learn not to walk in offense. Okay? I'm not saying that we don't let people walk all over us. It's okay to feel hurt, but we have to deal with it. We don't talk about it. We don't slag the person off. We don't try and deal with it in the way we would deal with offense, okay? We look at what God has to say about it, and we follow that through. God desires that we walk in unity, in love and with people, and it affects your heart. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 23, 24, he said, you know what? This affects you so much when you come to worship me. If your brother has something against you, I want you to leave your gift at the altar. Go sort it out, and then I want you to come back. And do you know what? I had a revelation moment when I read this verse, because I always thought this was like, when I annoy someone and I come to worship, I got to go and sort it out. But if you read it, it doesn't actually say that. It says, if your brother has something against you, okay? So that's something different. If you have hurt someone, if you've done something to offend someone, not so much so that you are acting offended or you're feeling hurt because of what someone has done, it's your actions. If you've done something to cause someone to think something of you, then do you know what it says? It says, I want you to leave it. I want you to go try and sort it out. And then I want you to come back to me. It's that important because it affects even your relationship with God. Make an effort to go and restore something. If you've done it, if you've totally wronged someone, you're sitting here today and you know you've done it, it's the humblest thing, it's the most humiliating thing that you'll probably have to do, but just to go and say, do you know what? I was wrong. How many people find it hard to say they were wrong? I know, woohoo, a lot of people, okay? That's one of the hardest things that we have to go through as human beings, especially when you've had a full-on argument and you thought your evidence was so clear and you're like going for it, and then suddenly realizing at the last moment, oh my goodness, I'm totally wrong. And it's like a sorry under your breath. And it's like, oh dear. But yet we're supposed to do that. When you're wrong, admit it. Walk in love with people. It also says in Ephesians 4:26, says, be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down in your anger. I don't know how many times. I think this whole idea of walking through a fence is played out really, really well in marriage. In fact, I think sometimes when we get our marriage sorted and we battle this out as husband and wife, then we can go and tackle it with the world. I think the marriage is a great place for us to learn to walk in this, because I don't know how many times I offend Aaron and Aaron offends me. I know how many arguments we've had. And I remember there was a year in life, I think I might have been pregnant with Lily, but that whole year we seemed to start arguing at 11 o'clock at night. It was like inevitable. It was like something, you know, the way like the moon comes up and you turn into a werewolf. It was like 11 o'clock. You know, what am I going to get angry about? And we always, like for ages, we ended up just fighting really late at night. And this is one of the hardest things that we find having to do. You're angry. And Aaron's like, I don't know if this is a man thing, but he's like, Jill, I love you. Please just go to sleep. We'll deal with this tomorrow. And he rolls over and goes to sleep with me. Deal with this tomorrow. And I'm sitting at 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm so angry. And to me, it needs to be ironed out before you go to sleep. And quite often, now, in reality, how easy is it to iron every single thing out? Sometimes it's just going, do you know what? Either you think you're right, I think I'm right. Let's just call it a day, and we totally love you. It's not just a love you, please shut up and go to sleep. I have to go to work in 3 hours. It's like, I actually love you. Okay, that plays out completely different. Learning to deal with offense is important. There's something releasing. There's something freeing whenever you're walking at peace with people. It's about trying not to offend people. If you're the type of person who's sitting going, I have hardly anyone close to me. Maybe you are a person who genuinely you're hard to get along with. Never thought about it. Maybe you offend a lot of people. And if you are someone who's offended easily, it's not about being a doormat and going, okay, I walk in love, I walk in grace, do whatever you want to me. But it's about realizing that, yeah, it's okay to feel hurt. But what's wrong is that you have to deal with it. You have to walk it through. And we're only able to deal with offense whenever we experience God's unconditional love. And whenever you experience that, then you can give that out to people, even the people that annoy you, even the people that hurt you. Time's pushing on, so I just want to finish. Well, not really finish, but I'll get you excited that we're close to finishing. I love the way the heat in this place has went from one extreme to the other. Is anyone else roasting? Boiling? Okay, so let's look at what Jesus had to say about walking through issues with people. When someone does something to hurt you, when somebody does something to wrong you, what does Jesus have to say about it? And let's look at Matthew 18. 15 to 17 says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, take it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. I love the way the Bible at times is really, really practical. Okay, this is like the scripture for dealing with people who have offended you or hurt you. This is the thing that we read about, and we know that this is what Jesus says, you know, go and confront people, all of that. And it's only when you realize that the Bible's full of practical things that it actually does help your life. What is the first thing that the scripture tells you to do when someone hurts you? Anybody want to shout out? What's the first thing you do? You go and talk to the person, okay? Someone does something, you hear someone saying something about you, whatever. You know that they've hurt you, but you go to the person, right? Okay? Can I just tell you, in my life, I was like looking at this moment of going, oh, how little I actually do that. When someone hurts me, I jump to step two. I go and get everybody else and go, did you see what they did? Do you know what she said to me? Do you know what they did to me? And then I get them on my side, and then we all go and gang up on the person. But how often do we do that? Whenever someone hurts you, there it is, black and white. What's the first thing you should do is you should go and confront the person. I have to admit that my husband's really good at this, okay? As Penny will know, okay, because we've been walking through stuff, and you know, you're talking about people who've maybe said stuff against you, and you're getting all annoyed and going, you know what, it's okay, God loves us, we need to forget about that, let's not think about the past, let's walk into the future. And whilst we're maybe trying to walk through that in grace, do you just see Boydo in the corner of the room texting? And you totally know that he's texting the person who you have just been talking about, who has maybe said something against you. And we're all going, you know what? It's okay. God loves them. God loves us. Let's not worry about what people are saying, but let's press on to the things that God has for us. And there's Boydo going straight to the person. Did you say this? Okay, now that's really full on. And Aaron is quite confrontational, okay? If you've ever had disagreement with him, you will know that because he will come straight to you if he has something wrong with you. But you know what? It's totally scriptural. That's the thing to be. Do you know what? 90% of our offenses would be done, would be dealt with, if we just followed this scripture, if we went to the people who hurt us and we just said, okay, this is how I feel, you did this, there we go. And they maybe go, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to blank you this morning, my mind was elsewhere, I think it left me oven on, sorry, it totally wasn't another planet, sorry about that, I'm sorry you felt offended, there we go, dealt with. You haven't said to someone else, she blanked me this morning, she hasn't even said hello to me. Or she didn't say hello to me last week. She always does that. And do you know what I mean? It just plays out and plays out and plays out. Before you know it, that person is the spawn of Satan by the time everyone chips in their rumours, all right? And there it is, black and white. Let's be people who do confront issues. And that's something that most of us find really uncomfortable, to go to someone and say, did you say this? Or did you do this deliberately? What did you do? Going direct to someone is what the scripture says that we do, and it's playing this out, okay? I've been even sitting thinking about how easy we just jump to step two, okay? I know that I've been in conversations where someone has started, you know, here, you're a woman there, she didn't do that to me, or your man, he didn't talk to me. See, whenever someone comes to you with that, you know what your response should be? Should be the scripture, well, did you talk to them about it? Okay, let's not start this whole scenario. If you're part of a conversation like that, can I encourage you to be encouraging to your fellow brothers and sisters and encourage them to go straight to the person? Let's not be people that gossip, because gossip is the very thing that divides us and destroys us as God's family. There's so much strife and gossip that could be done away with in the very first step if we just dealt with it. Okay, the second thing that it says bring two or three other people with you. Okay, now it doesn't say, okay, go and tell your friends what this person's done and then gossip about it and think that they're really awful and then all go and confront them and go, you did this. It doesn't say that, okay? These are two or three people who are witnesses about the conversation, who are preferably unbiased, who will hear both sides of the story, kind of a little bit like mediation, that's what we would call it today, and who aren't necessarily involved on an emotional level, who aren't in the hype of it all, who aren't feeling the hurt that you're feeling or the other person is feeling. But it's about bringing two or three people just to confront an issue and to do it most practically, okay? It's the practical thing to do. And I'm convinced that whenever we do this, we start to see the end result, the wrong relationship. We don't even get to that stage because it's played out. Knowing that people will offend you all the time, that's just going to happen, but it's how we deal with it. Don't let it eat you away. Quite often, offence just eats more at you than it even does the other person who's actually been out to hurt you. The third thing it says in the scripture is to bring it to the church. Now, this plays out a little bit differently today because this was obviously written to the New Testament church who met in homes, and he had one leader over it. So, like, Timothy would have been the pastor of all the little home churches that would have met in Ephesus. And so if they had a problem, they all met together and discussed it. Now, we're kind of like, there's like a million different churches. There's like, even in this area alone, you think of how many churches there are. It's impossible to bring one body of people together to talk about this. And the reality is, if someone is in the wrong or you're offended in a church, you can just go to the church across the road. Who cares? Okay? Basically, that's what happens today. We're in New Testament church. Whenever you've been offended and you went, you'd know where else to go. So you had to deal with it. You had to. And the fourth thing it says is, if they don't listen to the church, then let them be rebellious against God. Let them just go their own way, knowing that you tried. And I think sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. Whenever you've tried to reconcile a situation, okay, whenever you've tried to bring unity, and maybe the other party hasn't really been biting or hasn't really been wanting that, do you know what? You have done your very best. You have tried to live in peace. And it's okay just to leave that situation with God. It's completely fine to do that. I said before that, you know, how often it is that we take this idea of people offending us, and we do all those things in the completely wrong order. We get other people in the argument. We don't do the very first thing that we're asked to do. And yet how much of it makes sense? That totally makes sense. And I, like, this has totally been light bulb moments for me in the last couple of weeks when I've been reading it. When someone hurts me, when someone says something, I want to go and I want to sort it out. I don't want to be creating rumor. I don't want to be the person who spreads gossip. If I hear gossip, I want to encourage people to go to the people who've upset them. I don't want to offend people. I want to be a type of person who's likable, who people like. And I want to try and live at peace with everybody. Romans 12, verse 18, it says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. That requires a choice. Okay? Requires a choice. It starts with letting God change you, with you realizing how much God loves you, and then for that to play out in those difficult relationships. And just in closing, I think sometimes, and I know that I definitely have this personality type where I like to be a people pleaser, okay? I like people to like me. I like people, and I think a lot of us are like that. You know, we want to be liked by people. And yet, you know what? The reality is some people will just not like us. Some people will just never get along with us. And it's realizing that, do you know what? That's okay. Sometimes we get so worried about these relationships and trying to please people that we can get totally distracted on the whole God thing. And you know, the reality is that God loves us. And I said, I think in the very first week, that you can get to a place whenever you're so in love with God that all those little things that seem to create so much havoc just seem like nothing in comparison, because that is just brilliant. And the reality is it needs to overflow into our relationships. But let's be people who just focus so much so on trying to be good people, trying to be people that are likable and get along with people, but yet not letting it take up so much effort and space that we forget that it's meant to be an overflow, is what I'm saying. And the key to all of this, just as a little reminder, is it's not about not getting offended. It's okay to be offended, but it's another different matter. But you can change you. You have a choice. You choose whether to stay offended. You can focus on the problem. You can create it, a whole big mountain that it never even should have been in the first place. Or you can turn to God. You can fill up on His love. And you can watch that just iron out all those awkward relationships, those awkward things. I totally just love this whole kind of idea about living at peace with people, okay? It's so probably easier to preach than to actually do. Okay, this has been a year of testing. Practice what you preach today, all right? But this is something that I know as a person, I want to start walking in this. The people that have hurt me, the people who have said things about me, do you know what? So what? I don't care. I genuinely don't. I want to get to that place where I'm going, do you know what, God, you have got my back. You love me. You care about me. If I've done something wrong, I want you to show me. Because, you know, quite often we can be the problem. If I've done something wrong that started all of this, then show me. Let me be humble enough to go, do you know what? I am wrong. It's okay to say I'm right, but I could be wrong. Okay, that's a very humbling thing. I know I'm right, but there's a possibility, small chance, that I could be wrong. That's a really difficult thing to say. I don't know this morning, and I'm going to ask Griff to come up. I don't know this morning if any of this has struck a chord with you. Maybe there are real difficult things you're walking through, difficult relationships that you're walking through where people have hurt you, where people have upset you, and I hope that some of this has definitely helped you. I hope that even what Jesus had to say in the scriptures in Matthew 15 has just been like a little guideline. I said, what do you do when someone hurts you? How do you walk that out? And can I encourage you this morning just to come and just to lay it all down before God? That's the first thing that I think is just asked of us, that we just go to God and we go, God, what's going on here? Help me find out the problem. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's not me. Maybe it's them. But will you help me just walk through this? Will you show me what I've done wrong, if I've done anything wrong? And will you give me the grace to just love that person no matter what they've done against me? Maybe you're sitting here this morning going, you know what? I'm totally the person that gets easily offended at anything. Someone did blank me this morning and I'm raging. Okay? Maybe you are someone who takes on all of those actions and you get annoyed and you get frustrated. And maybe you just haven't got that revelation of how much God loves you. Do you know what? You can get to a place where you're so in love that it doesn't matter what other people do or say against you. And I, this morning, if any of this has struck a chord with you, then I want you to come, and I want you to just come up to the front, and we'll pray with you. We'll help you maybe just see what God has to say about your situation, to see what God wants to do in those difficult things. And maybe it's just a time for you this morning to go, do you know what? I've mucked up big style completely. I've done something I shouldn't have done. Will you help me just to walk through that? Would you help me just to throw my hands up and go, right, I've done it wrong. Let's work it. Let's work at it. Let's do it. Maybe that's you and you just need someone to come and...